Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Fred Flight substituting for Frank Gaffney. My next guest will be General Jerry Boykin. He is the Executive Vice President of the Family Research Council. Jerry served as Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence, and he is an original member of the U.S. Army's Delta Force. General Boykin, welcome.
Hey, Fred. Thank you very much. Glad to be with you.
I wanted to talk to you about President Trump's statement that he is banning transgenders from serving in the military. And I wanted to first by reading a tweet that you sent out on this. The tweet read, "To say that I am pleased to see President Trump put a stop to this transgender madness in the military would be an understatement." And you also wrote, "It would be another indicator to me that our president is truly focused on military readiness." Could you expound on this, General?
Yeah, look, I think that the average citizen, certainly those who are polled, only 23% of them believe that we ought to have openly transgender service members serving. So the majority of Americans see this for what it is. It's insanity. Every decision that is made by our Congress and by our president regarding our military should be made with the question up front of how does this enhance the readiness of our military? How does it make us more capable of winning the nation's wars? Remember, that's what Douglas MacArthur told the students at West Point in 1963 when he said, "Your mission remains fixed, constant, inviolable. It's to win the nation's wars." And that is where we need to be focused today. So how does adding transgenders to our military service enhance readiness? And the answer is it doesn't. In fact, it detracts from readiness because of all the time away from their job. So I think Trump is looking at this from a very common sense perspective, and I am glad to see that he's really focused on bringing back our warfighter focus and a focus on winning the wars.
General Boykin, let's talk about the general issue of military readiness. What is the state of our military readiness right now?
Well, I think as we transition from the Obama administration to the Trump administration, it was abysmal. I think that budget cuts, program budget cuts, plus sequestration certainly set us back. And I think you've probably heard that our Army was the smallest since World War II, since pre-World War II. That our Navy was the same, and that in both the Navy and the Marine Corps that we're actually cannibalizing airplanes and in some cases taking parts from airplanes in museums and displays to keep our fleet flying. That is a sad state of readiness for a nation as powerful and as I guess, productive as the United States. So our military readiness was in sad shape. But I think that the two things, in addition to the budget cuts that have been very problematic, is one is the assault on religious liberty in our military. And number two is the social experiments. And all these social experiments bring with them a training package that is not just a one-time thing, it's a routine thing. And you talk particularly to a National Guard or reserve component soldier, sailor, airman, or Marine, and they will tell you that they sometimes spend an entire weekend in a classroom listening to lectures on these social experiments. That is a gross and unforgivable waste of training time when they should be preparing for war.
Yeah, I remember when the Clinton administration tried to do that when I was at the CIA, but they actually were unsuccessful. I think the Obama administration took this a lot further. Now, talk about the costs of special compensation and services that this transgender initiative may have inflicted on the military.
Yeah, we did a survey, and just based on the military's own statistics of how many people would be impacted by this, we did a very detailed cost analysis on this. In over a decade, we believe that this whole program would cost between about $1.9 billion to about 3.7 or 8 billion. And that includes a loss of training of time. In other words, paying someone pay and benefits while they are in a non-deployable status, which is exactly what you will have when, as people go through the therapy for, you know, the hormone therapy as well as the transgender surgery. You're going to have people that are not deployable, people that will just basically be doing nothing but making this transition. We have to pay those people full pay and allowances during that period of time. And then when you look at the cost of the therapy and the surgery itself and all, it's a staggering figure. And, you know, if you went to the high end of that, we discovered that you could buy 22 F-35 fighters for what it would cost us for this transgender program at the top end of it, and really about 166 Chinook helicopters. So it's insanity as far as I am concerned. It has nothing to do with winning wars.
Oh, General Jerry Boykin, I want to turn to a very different issue, and that concerns the threat from North Korea. In response to UN sanctions imposed on North Korea last weekend, the North Korean government has vowed to make the U.S. pay dearly. There also has been satellite coverage, supposedly, of cruise missiles being placed on small North Korean ships. How do you read this North Korean response to these new sanctions?
Yeah, Fred, you know, you and I have, we've discussed this a number of times, and, you know, individually and in group settings. I think that while everybody understands that Kim Jong-un is certifiably crazy, he's not as irrational as people think. I think that he's saving face with this kind of thing, but I think it's a very tense and a very dangerous situation. But I do not believe that he wants to provoke the United States or South Korea into a war because he loses. And I think he's rational enough to know that he loses. And that doesn't mean he's not going to continue testing his missiles and even his warheads. And again, I think it's a very dangerous situation, but I think he knows he loses. He cannot win. He's going to lose his country and probably be killed in the process if he provokes America into a war. And Donald Trump is unpredictable, I think, in his mind, as well as the minds of, you know, world leaders all over.
I'm sort of wondering your views on China. China has been heavily criticizing for not adhering to prior Security Council resolutions. What are the chances that they will abide by these new sanctions?
Well, the track record is certainly not good, as you just said. And China, remember, China helped North Korea get to where they are today. And I think that, quite frankly, I think China is realizing also that they don't have the influence, that all the materiel and the money and the trade and everything over the years has not bought them the influence that I think they wanted with North Korea. I think they'd like for this North Korea situation to go away, but at the same time, I'm not sure that they have any good options. Since Kim Jong-nam was killed, who really was the guy that they were kind of holding in Macau, China, to be put in as a replacement for Kim Jong-un, and once he was killed there in Kuala Lumpur, I think that China was sort of back to square one in terms of, okay, what if we do find a way to get rid of this guy? Who do we replace him with? And I don't think they have a good answer to that right now. So, you know, the best thing that could happen, Fred, is for some of his own people to go just kill him, just take him out. But I don't see that materializing right now. Maybe you know something I don't.
Well, General Boykin, I have to wrap it up there. You've been listening to Executive Vice President of the Family Research Council, General Jerry Boykin. Thank you so much for your comments. You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio. I'm Fred Flight, substituting for Frank Gaffney. Next up, I'll be speaking to economist Kevin Freeman on what he believes is a coming trade war. Stay tuned.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.